next Sunday, Thanksgiving Sunday. We are gathering together with our three congregations at 10:30. And when we have these bilingual gathered services, it's always a very, very special time. So I encourage you to come on out. And you shouldn't have any difficulty. You got here for 9:30. You should be able to get here for 10:30. And just enjoy a great time of celebration. We will be partaking of Holy Communion together. And that'll be a great time just to remember that in Christ we are one. Usually at Thanksgiving, we invite you to bring dried, non-perishable goods so that we can take those and donate them to New Beginnings Church down in the east side of Vancouver. And so please make a note of that, highlight it in your bulletin, and come next week and place everything at the table in the front, and then later on those will be delivered. Appreciated if you would do that. There are a couple of other announcements in here, which I will just ask you to please, at your leisure this afternoon, read through and follow up on them. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, but let me just extend a very warm welcome. And we are very privileged to have Reverend Dr. King Tak Ip with us. And it's just great to have you here. And he'll be speaking in the Cantonese service. And I understand he goes out to Coquitlam or Port Coquitlam later on today to speak again. And so he is a busy gentleman. But he comes to us from Hong Kong, where he has been teaching in Hong Kong, or Baptist University, Hong Kong, and is also the chaplain there. And he was telling me before the service that there are a number of alumni who live here in Vancouver. And so when he comes, there's people to visit and to get caught up with. And we're just so very happy to have you. And his wife, Anita, is here as well. So welcome. And before you come and speak to us, I'd like to just to pray for you and pray for our Sunday school program as well. So let's pray. Father God, it is a great privilege to be gathered here this morning. And we know that this is the day that you have made, and you have encouraged us to rejoice and to be glad in it. And we are glad. We are glad to be here, to be able to join our hearts and voices in worship, to be able to open up your word and to learn from it. And I pray for our Transformers Sunday School time that you would bless the children and those who are teaching. I pray that you would bless Pastor Samson as he speaks in the Mandarin service at this time. And then we are very thankful to have Dr. Ip with us. And I just pray that as he presents your word, that you would help us to have receptive hearts and minds. We know you have something to say to us today, and so we are eager to hear it. Continue to bless our time together, I ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our friend. Amen. Thank you, sir. Please come, and the pulpit is yours.
Thank you for Dr. Crossley's introduction. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I think it's the first time I'm preaching here. I'm coming from Hong Kong. I've been here for a week. I met some of the Cantonese congregation members a few days ago, doing a Bible study in Cantonese. Maybe next time doing something in English. Okay. Thank you very much for inviting me to share with you this morning. And I pick a passage just from Mark, chapter 9, verses 33 to 37. I think this passage will be very familiar with you. The passage says, "They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you arguing about on the road?' But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all.' He took a little child and had him stand among them, taking him in his arm. He said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" Who is the greatest? This is what the disciples had argued on the way to Capernaum. Why did they argue? In Mark, the dispute over greatness indicates the degree to which the disciples had failed to understand Jesus' solemn affirmation concerning his abandonment to the will of man. Jesus told them not long ago in Mark chapter 9, verse 31, that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hand of man. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will. They failed to understand what Jesus said. They suspect that no more would be killed for Jesus to be killed by the enemy. The dispute also shows how the disciples were influenced by the temper of their own culture, where questions of presence and breath were constantly arising. And also, are we also having influenced by our culture? What do I mean? Where do we know our culture is from? Where do we know our culture from? Where do we find that the big culture being deceivable? Prayer for privileged people that you call and we have a vision. You say, and we have an identity. You accompany us, and we expect to make purpose. Chosen race, royal priesthood, your own people receiving mercy. But we, in our restlessness, so not want to be so peculiar. We would rather be like the others, eager for the wealth, the wisdom, the power, eager to be like them, comfortable, beautiful, and free. We learn to be like the other, and to make us all and different. Grant that we may find joy in our baptism, freedom in our obedience, delight in our vocation. The same joy, freedom, and delight that so mark our law, hold we follow. We are all to be all. Yet we want to be like others. We want to be well, wisdom, with light and power. We want to be comfortable, beautiful, young, looking, right? I'm in my 60s, but still looking young. And I took little medicine, but still fine, running around and talking around and enjoy life. We want to follow Jesus in oddness. We want to be a leader with everything that people believe to be wonderful in this world. Wealth, wisdom, power, beauty, youth, and freedom. However, while we want to be like the others, could we really do what we want? We may end up living like I would like to share with you a poem written by called the paradox of life. The paradox of time is that we have taller legs, but shorter tails. We have fewer legs, but narrower arms. We spend more, but have less. We buy more, and buy less. We have bigger houses, and smaller apartments. More convenience, but less time. We have more grease, but less common sense. More knowledge, more problems, more and we have our potential, but we don't have our values. We have to love the other and hate the other. We learn how to live a little, but not a life. We add years to life, not life to years. We have been all the way. But not to wait. We need more information to produce more copies than ever, but we accumulate less. These are the times of fast food and slow fashion. Big men and small characters, steep pockets and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, fancier houses but broken homes. These are the days of quick fits, disposable diapers, float-away morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and nothing in the stockroom, a time when technology can bring its message to you, and a time when you can choose either to share insight or just be relaxed. Remember, spend time with your loved ones because they are not going to be around forever. Remember, say a kind word to someone who looks up to you in hope because they will grow up and remember to give a warm hug to the one next to you because that is the only treasure you can give with your heart. And it doesn't know that. Remember to say I love you to your spouse and your loved one, to your partner, but most of all, mean it. A gift and an embrace will mend hurt when it comes from deep inside of you. Remember to hold hands and pass the moment for someday that person will not be there again. Good time. Life is not measured by number of years, but by the moment that people are breath away. The greatest, they will come in their life. However, when they ask God as broken hearts, we find that we may find joy in our happiness, freedom in our obedience, and life in our vocation. Jesus answered this: if anyone wants to be saved, he must be the very last and the present Lord. After the first disciples, according to Mark, Jesus sat down in the teaching rabbi once more about to give instruction to his disciples. He often said, if anyone wants to be he must be the first and the second the person of heaven was the servant on the authority of God. He who wishes to be the must turn into the servant of God. Universal, a human idea of witness and bread is the practical application of the fifth commandment of love for one's neighbor and the reformation of the four of self-denial in the reformation of the four of self-denial. The point of life of the disciple in the relationship with the is to be a practice of love. We serve one another, the people of the Christian on the faith. And that's what we need to do. We need to love one another. And we have to be serving one another. And that is what by myself. The most excellent way so far, my first time in the second row was 21. Rabbi disappeared and this is what the man saw. The rabbi tried to himself in the stove and said the Caroline had been a Gentile woman in the pot. Leaning on the ground, and the man set up a meal for her when the spy got back. Hello. Testing. Oh, good. Thank you. Then I will not be, bing bang. Yes. Solidify here. Okay. And where am I? Oh, yes. The old man going to plant the mango tree. That's what his reply. Do you expect to eat mangoes from those trees? You know, this old man, he's been quite old and probably he could not eat mangoes from this tree. And he said, no, I won't live long enough to enjoy the mango. Not long enough for that. But others will. It occurred to me the other day that all my life I have enjoyed mangoes planted by other people. This is my way of showing them my gratitude. Yes, we live in such a comfortable society, right? And lots of people, in fact, serving us. Yes, so that we could live comfortably and everything convenient. And we have to think what we have to do so that such kind of service could continue and how the caring spirit could continue in this society and especially in this congregation, right? No matter brothers and sisters doing anything to me, we need to be grateful. Oh, yes, John just drove me in this morning and he's my... I you know Johnny? Yes, a member in the Chinese congregation. And in fact, he is my... senior in the middle school. We met here a few days ago. I thought that he's my junior. But in fact, he's not. He's my senior. 1 year senior. But he looks so young. I just envy about that. Anyway, we have to find ways to serve others. We are going to serve, for this is our way of showing our gratitude. St. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Christ Jesus set the best example for us. He took up the very nature of a servant, humbled himself, and became obedient to death. In responding to his gracious acts, we have to follow his example to be the best servant in our community. If there's any competition in the community, that's the competition to be who is the best servant, not to be who is the greatest. To whom are we going to serve? Once there was a guru who asked his disciple how they could tell when the light had ended and the day begun. One said, "When you see an animal in the distance and can tell whether it is a cow or a horse." Okay. "And no," said the guru. And another said, "When you look at a tree in the distance and can tell if it is a lime tree or a mango tree." "Wrong again," said the guru. "Well then, what is it?" asked his disciples. And the guru answered, "When you look into the face of any man, of course, including women, and recognize your brother in him, when you look into the face of any woman and recognize in her your sister, if you cannot do that, no matter what time it is by the sun, it is still night." Day or night is not to be decided by the sun. Day or night is to be decided by you, whether you see in a man he's your brother, or in a woman she's your sister. Yes, we have to serve everyone, especially the lowest. Jesus took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arm, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." We serve the lowest and we serve the law. In serving a child, we serve Jesus as well as the Father. Only those who are humble to serve as the servant of all will become the leader. On the judgment day, God will not ask us 9 things. 1, God won't ask what kind of car you drove. He'll ask how many people you drove who did not have transportation. 2, God won't ask the square footage of your house. He'll ask how many people you welcomed into your home. 3, God won't ask about the clothes you had in your closet. He'll ask how many you helped to clothe. 4, God won't ask what your highest salary was. He'll ask if you compromise your character to obtain it. 5, God won't ask what your job title was. He'll ask if you perform your job to the best of our ability. 6, God won't ask how many friends you had. He'll ask how many people to whom you were a friend. 7, God won't ask in what neighborhood you lived. He'll ask how you treat your neighbors. 8, God won't ask about the color of your skin. He'll ask about the content of your character. And the last one, God won't ask why it took you so long to seek salvation. He'll lovingly take you to your mansion in heaven and not to the gates of hell. We have to be the last one. To be the last, we affirm the call to self-denial in following Jesus. We are not serving ourselves. we serve our neighbor, to serve our Lord. Therefore, to be a great leader, a good leader, means that we should always seek better leaders to provide better services. To be a humble leader, always thinking oneself as the last. We should know that there is always someone better than we are. That's very important, someone better than we are. William Buckley told us in his daily study Bible on Mark that true selfless service is where? When it is found, it is remembered. The Greek had a story of a Spartan called the Paideretos. 300 men were to be chosen to govern Sparta, and Paideretos was a candidate. When the list of the successful was announced, his name was not on it. You see, he wants to serve his country and to defend the country, and he's one of the candidates, but he was not chosen. How disappointed that would be if that's your eye. And one of his friends said, "I'm sorry that you were not elected. The people ought to have known that a wise office of state you would have made." But Paideretos said, "I'm glad that in Sparta there are 300 men better than I am." Yes. Always in the congregation, some are better than I. Just the Lord allow me to serve him in this capacity. And we have to be very thankful and grateful to what the Lord has done on us. And we hope the congregation, everyone, should find the best, every opportunity to serve in the church, to serve one another, to serve not only the English congregation, but also the Putonghua congregation, the Cantonese congregation. Let us pray. O God, we beseech you, grant that the same mind may be in all the brothers and sisters gathering here in Christ Jesus. Our self-forgetting humility, our interest in common things, our love for common people, our compassion for the fallen, our tolerance with the mistaken, our patience with the slow, and in all our work and converse, make us continually sensitive to your guidance and ready for your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much, and hope